Some of the greatest music makers of our time have had a disability. Disability doesn't stop artists from creating brilliant music. But still today, there are many barriers that artists face.
Maybe I am scared of change. Say you don't fix what ain't broke.
My name is Eliza Hull, and this is Access All Areas, where I give you a pass to learn about what it's like to be a musician with disability. I have a physical disability, Charcot-Marie tooth. I'm also a musician, and throughout my career, I've faced many physical barriers and discrimination. The time is now to begin the conversation about how the music industry can be more inclusive and accessible.
Somebody's always leading you to shipwreck when you haven't gotten over the last one yet, but I don't pretend that I don't know. We're more than friends, a first-rate bone.
Martha Marlowe is an Australian singer, songwriter, and musician. Her debut album, Medicine Man, has received widespread critical acclaim since its release in June 2021. The ARIA Award-nominated album is drenched in orchestral pop, an evocative heart-on-sleeve album exploring themes of longing and hope. Martha was born with talipes, which required several surgical operations. She also has dyslexia, and she became increasingly unwell 5 years ago with an autoimmune condition. Martha Marlowe, welcome to Double J.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
So music is in your blood. Your father is a musician. Was music always playing around in your house growing up?
Oh, definitely. It's part of the walls. And, you know, as a young child, I have many distinct memories of rehearsals and all these interesting musicians coming over. And, you know, my whole childhood is sort of set against the backdrop of song, you know, of jazz and incredible music. We're actually in the same house. We have a really lovely semi-house, and it's the same house that the Bee Gees grew up in. So there's a lot of musical history around.
What were your biggest influences growing up? What were the kind of songs that were playing?
Oh, gee, I guess there was a lot of jazz, a lot of classical, the Beatles, of course, you know, as a kid. I remember once when in primary school in year six, you know, it was a question that the teacher asked the students, you know, who is your favorite singer? And I remember saying, oh, you know, I can't remember her name, but the lady with the gardenias in her hair. And nobody knew who I was talking about, but it was Billie Holiday. And so music was always around, and incredible music, but it was something that we sort of, as children, myself and my brother, we just sort of found our way into.
This record, Medicine Man, wow, I cannot stop playing the songs. It's just so beautifully made. I love the title. And I guess, you know, especially relating to chronic health, is that why you did title it with the word medicine?
Yes, very much so. I've spent most of my 20s in and out of hospital. And, you know, this album is very much a window into my inner world. It's a revealing of who I am. I find that with illness, you know, the body is suffering, but illness can also be a great revealing. It's a great transformation of spirit. And so the title Medicine Man is very much like an invocation of the muse. I'm calling out this character who, you know, is chronic pain, is chronic illness, and it's something that I'm not necessarily trying to set out to conquer, but something that's a huge part of me and something that I'm yielding to, something that's constantly in the foreground of my life.
I guess, you know, I find that so interesting, you talking about dealing with pain and how it affects your music. I mean, I'm someone that deals with a lot of pain also, and it obviously influences in your music in negative ways. But I'm also wondering, has it ever provided you with inspiration or, I guess, affected your music in a more positive way?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the sound of pain is such a strong and constant one. And this, no doubt, you know, Eliza, you know, very well versed in. It's always there. It's always present. You know, pain is like this cold stone. You know, it's sort of constantly under every joint, under the skin, and it's always providing this loud sound, as it were. And so I often use music to provide another sound to combat the sound of pain. You know, I mean, I've fed pain music by the spoonful. Often when I'm in hospital, for instance, when I have to get any invasive tests or, you know, going under general anesthetic or anything like that, I listen to music. You know, I listen to a lot of classical music. It really helps me through, you know, so many of those situations. In terms of, you know, how pain perhaps has affected my writing and the creation of music, I think it is something that deepens your spirit tremendously. And it turns up in every note, even when perhaps you're singing or writing a song about, you know, positive experiences. But for me, it certainly turns up. I mean, when I listen to all those legends, you know, those jazz legends, you know, people like Nina Simone and Billie Holiday, and, you know, there's a lot of pain in that music, you know. And it's not just the pain, it's the transcendence of context, of difficult circumstance. And I think that's what is so incredible about music and so moving, is when a person can transcend their context, you know, their situation in life.
Come out, put on your red coat, come out and make your stand, medicine man. I can feel you tiptoeing round the peripheral view. Yes, I do. And not that long ago, I was a stranger to it. Now I find the black glitter at the back of my head that comforts you. A taste of blood in you. And I can hear that bird singing its song. It knows its part so well. Singing in a freedom, and freedom it's getting closer to. Where do we go? I don't know, I don't know. I drove for hours to that stove at night. All laughter and illusion spilling out to the pavement, soaking through, soaking right through.
I still feel that there's still a lot of stigma around the word disability and the identity that comes with disability. I wondered, have you always identified as a disabled person?
It did take me a long time to identify as someone with a disability, which I know might sound strange, because it's, you know, I've lived with talipes all my life and had many operations for it, and certainly with the onset of my autoimmune, autoinflammatory disease, which is incredibly serious. It still took me a very long time to be open about it, and that was largely because of a fear of stigma, of a fear of, you know, people not wanting to take you on, because disability is often seen in a pejorative context rather than something to be celebrated or something to be proud of. And indeed, when you think about so many of the great artists and great musicians of all time, you're actually thinking about people who have disability. You know, look at Frida Kahlo and Beethoven, Van Gogh. You know, these are people who have a disability. So it has been a huge emotional journey for me putting out this album and, you know, opening up or showing a little about, you know, my reality. And also how it's shaped me in an incredibly positive way. You know, it's something that's given me a lot of depth, and it's a huge part of who I am.
You speak about that fear around identifying as disabled due to stigma. Have you ever faced that in the music industry, just discrimination, stigma, or is that something that you just had that internal fear that grew potentially due to lack of representation?
It's a great question. I have. I think it's inevitable that one does, you know, go through that. But instead of sort of focusing on, you know, those instances where, you know, there's that awful moment of stigma, or whether, you know, it's someone saying something incredibly inappropriate, or, you know, not being open to, a different way forward, you know, when, you know, certain limitations that one has. I actually really like to focus on the people who have really come through or have been champions, as it were. And I've been surprised in so many situations where I've sort of almost gone in, you know, expecting a certain amount of discrimination or stigma, and have been, you know, really blown away by how accommodating people are, and that people really want to do the right thing. You know, people want to stand on the right side of history. And there's so much tremendous change happening in our music industry for good, you know, and that's what I like to focus on. And I'm sure that, you know, there'll be a lot more of that change, but it does take leadership, and it does take, you know, us to be brave and to be open about it, and for audiences and, you know, members of the industry to be open to listening. You know, this is something where everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome to this table, you know, to be on this conversation. I think that's the best place to start.
And I'll be singing all of my days, and I'll be singing all of my days, and I'll be singing all of my days. I'll sing of joy and sorrow.
You've come out with such an incredible record, and suddenly, you know, it's so beautiful to see so much of you in, you know, around in terms of interviews, and this exposure with this ARIA nomination. So great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I guess I'm curious, since you've been speaking about disability, have you been met with acceptance?
Yes and no. I think it's, you know, I mean, no doubt you've been through so many similar experiences. We still have a long way to go, but I think a lot of the time it's important to understand that people really want to do the right thing. You know, it's just a lot of the time it's coming from a place of not knowing how to do that right thing. And so, again, I think it's about opening up the conversation.
Yeah. What about in terms of this becoming part of your musical identity? Are there times where you don't want to talk about it, or you just feel like you want to focus on the music? Or...
Oh, definitely. Yes. I mean, most of the time, you know, I mean, the thing is when you're incredibly unwell, I mean, I spend so much time in medical appointments and in hospital and, you know, all the rest of it. It's very difficult because you're living it all the time. You know, it's this day-to-day reality for you. And so often when you're in a situation where, you know, you're able to play or talk about the music that you've written, or to be working at your job, at your calling, you know, I mean, during those moments, you often don't want to talk about it, because it's the time for you to sort of transcend, as it were. But I think, you know, the reality is, for me personally, my condition certainly deteriorated and has gotten much, much worse. And so I came to a point when releasing Medicine Man where I really had to open up about some, at least, of what's going on, because I needed there to be a certain amount of understanding as to, you know, the certain way that I'm going to be creating a career for myself. I'm not going to be going on, you know, sort of huge back-to-back tours, and, you know, I can't do press you know, interview after interview after interview. You know, I mean, I'm on immune therapy. You know, it's not, you know, there's a lot to be taken into consideration. So for me, it was incredibly important to start talking about it. But I've also been very clear, or at least have wanted to really let people understand that, you know, whilst it informs my work and informs who I am as a person hugely, it's not the whole story of what's going on, you know, and you know, so much of what's incredible about this album isn't necessarily the illness, but rather that despite it, I've been able to record an album with a 17-piece string ensemble, you know, with these incredible jazz musicians and all Australian cast of musicians, you know, to be nominated for an ARIA, to do all this work with songs I've written myself. You know, I think that's, in any situation, you know, sort of attempting to do something as large as that is rather difficult. So I prefer focusing on the music, you know, because there's so much music there to talk about.
Yeah, it's such a big thing to discuss, isn't it? Because it's like, it is who you are, and it's good to be proud, and it's good to model that for young people. But it's also that we are musical artists that, you know, we make music. And so it's a real blend of talking and exploring who you are as a person. I think it's a big a big subject.
It is, yes, it is.
I'm curious,
and personal too. You know, it's also, I mean, it's your health, so you know, it's a personal subject as well in many ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a song now. Can you tell me a bit about the song that you've chosen?
Yeah, so we're going to play I Am, and it's a song that I wrote for a dear friend of mine who passed away rather suddenly, and I was left in a great amount of grief and was trying to comprehend, you know, what was going on. And so, you know, the song's written from the perspective of what they would say, you know, about them sort of being there for you all the time, you know. It's saying that, you know, all of life is just one big sort of transformation, really, and that they're present. And that's why, you know, every single verse sort of begins with I am, you know, I am in the river, in the ocean wide, you know, etc., etc. But, yeah.
I am in every river. In the sky above. In the ones you love, I am in that ocean wide, in the tears you've cried. Into stormy skies.
I was curious, as somebody that deals with a lot of pain, someone that has chronic health condition, how touring fits in as a musician, because, you know, touring can be extremely hard for even non-disabled people and tiring. Are you someone that wants to tour?
Well, I'm definitely someone who, you know, wants to tour, wants to perform and do those things, but there are, you know, definitely limitations to my ability to. So it is something that I can't do an awful lot of, or rather, you know, can only do a few shows and then have to have a lot of time in between. Because as you say, it's incredibly grueling, you know, and also for me, you know, having to having so many medical appointments that I need to be, you know, constantly going to, it can be very tricky planning around those things. But for me, I mean, I have such a rich inner life, and that's something I really want to invite audiences into, you know. So I'm very much looking forward to creating a path forward where I can be much more of a project artist, much more of a recording artist, and spending time there. And I really do believe that, you know, people will want to hear that. There's so much work that I've got that hasn't come out yet, which, you know, is a result of living a quiet life.
I was actually curious what COVID has brought for you. Are you working on anything new, anything that we can look forward to?
Yes, many things. And it's funny because, I mean, COVID hasn't really, I mean, aside from being really frightened because I'm immune compromised, but it's, for me, COVID is, you know, very much the same to how my life is in many ways. But yeah, so I've been working on a really lovely collaborative project with Chris Abrahams from The Necks, and we're looking to record that next year and put that out next year. I've also been working on a novel and song called Notes from Malcolm Harvey, which I've been sort of slowly chipping away at for a long time. And then, of course, I work as well as a painter, and I also love to illustrate and write kids' books. And so there are a couple of things that I've been working on there, and I'll be having a Works on Paper exhibition later next year. It was actually planned for this year, but then of course COVID and everything. So yeah, so much to be getting on with.
So Martha, you don't really seem that busy then.
just a little.
High achiever.
yeah.
I love it. Oh wow. So children's books, painting, new record. Yeah, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's great. It's been a wonderful, wonderful collaboration. I feel very lucky to be working with Chris on that.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you, and I think people are going to really learn about you, your music, and your experience. So I truly appreciate it. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you so much, Eliza and Double J, and everyone for listening. It's been lovely being on the show.